Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Theme for this month is abiding in what?
Love.
Everybody say abiding in love.
Abiding in love.
Now the theme for January was abiding in Christ. So just spent time the month seeking God, praying, and we capped it up with our retreat. The theme for February was abiding in your calling. Abiding in your calling. So we spent the month talking about our callings and purpose in life, and also why are we gathered together as a church? Now, this month, we're going to go further, and we're going to spend time to talk about God's love for us, God's love in us, God's love through us. Amen. Everybody say, God's love for us, God's love in us, and God's love through us. We're going to be doing that, and you know, we're going to be having some events geared towards that. Amen. But we have some, you know, some things we need to finish from last month. In talking about the vision, we just want to wrap everything up today. But you know, it's still going to flow with the same thing of God's love that we're talking about. So that's what we're going to use today's service for, and then from next week we will now delve deeper into the love of God. We're going to be having at least two guest ministers minister this month, by the grace of God. I think the second, you get more information, second or not next week, and the Sunday after this, we're going to have my friend all the way from Nigeria, Pastor Akinyemi David. Amen. He's been here before. Yes, Akinyemi David, yeah. He's been here before, but he's going to be here at Global Impact Church. It's going to be ministering. It's going to be a powerful time. And then, at the end of the month, we're going to have Pastor Tim and Shola. They're going to have a weekend with us in the before and after I do program. Amen. Why don't you get excited about that? It's always good to be exposed, you know, to other ministry gifts. Because that's how we grow. You know, people are anointed with different gifts and callings. And, you know, that's how the church grows. That's how the church gets healthier and healthier as we're exposed to these ministry offices. So I am looking forward to these meetings, and you can start praying for them that it will be revolutionary times in our lives and as a church. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So are you ready for today?
Yes,
okay, let's go about this to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We're going to be talking about God's love. But in this way, God's love has packaged in you and expressed through you. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for utterance. Thank you, Lord, because of the convicting power of your word. Thank you because your word will bring transformation and change in this place today. To those who are watching online, those who are here, and everyone that will hear this message in any way, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. You will be glorified. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, but you, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Everybody, let's repeat that and personalize it once again. For I am his workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. I am his workmanship. Now, you do not use the word workmanship a lot these days. It's archaic, sort of. Some people still use it, but we don't use it that often. So that's why I prefer, you know, if you use another translation, maybe like NLT. But I think I have to go into the Greek also to explain what that word means. So everybody say,
For I am
God's masterpiece.
I am God's masterpiece.
He has created me created me anew in Christ Jesus, so that I can do the good things He planned for me long ago. Very loaded verse. There are some good things that God planned long ago for us to do. But I think the key thing there is that we are His workmanship, or we are His masterpiece. Now, the word masterpiece there in the Greek is the word poema, where we get the word poem. That's where the word poem in the English language comes from. The Greek word used there is where the word poem in the English language comes from. So, reading in the Greek, it says, you are God's poem. You are God's poem. Amen. Somebody say, I'm God's poem. I'm God's poem. So in other words, God is a poet. God is portrayed as a poet who writes a poem and then releases the poem to go forth and accomplish something. So the first thing I want you to know this morning is that you are unique. Anybody say, I am unique.
I am unique.
I want you to say it boldly. Say,
I am unique.
Now, many of you write poetry. I write poetry. You don't write two poems the same. Each poem is what? It's different. Isn't that true? Each poem is different. You don't take a poem that says, okay, this poem is, you know, is whatever name, and then the second one is exactly the same, and it's whatever name, the same name, and the third one is exactly the same, and it's the same name. No. It's just one poem. When you write poetry, you write on different issues, you write to address different things, and you write in the content are different. There might be a similarity in style. There might be a similarity in expression. But the content of those poems and the purpose of all those poems are unique. So when the Bible says that we are God's poema or we're God's masterpiece, you need to really, really celebrate that. Because what he's telling us is that you are not a mass-produced person. Some of you were not mass-produced. Say, I am not mass-produced. Say, I am uniquely designed. Say, I am uniquely designed. In fact, you know, you can say, I am a specific poem written by God for a specific purpose. To a specific people. So God packaged His love, He packaged His message, He packaged something inside you that is unique. Everything about us speaks of uniqueness. Nobody has the same fingerprint, set of fingerprints. Even identical twins have different set of fingerprints. Dental arrangement different. Chromosome combinations different. DNA different. Amen. They are similar in it. But everything is unique and different. So if physical characteristics are like that, they are unique and they are different. How about our mental characteristics? We all know that we're different. They are introvert, they are extrovert, you know, and all that. We have different gifts, we have different callings. What about spiritual characteristics? We also have unique spiritual characteristics. We have unique callings. We have unique purposes. We have unique abilities. Amen. We are the expression of God's genius. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, I am an expression of God's genius. Woo! I love it. I am an expression of God's genius. When the family was speaking about it, and that time has always been a blessing to me. Amen. In Psalm 139, let's quickly turn to Psalm 139. The psalmist was speaking about his own, you know, creation. And it, of course, applies to, you know, all of us. He was talking about Psalm 139. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's start reading. No, we're not going to read the whole thing. So, if you can start reading from verse 20. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 139. Go down. What? Keep going now. We don't need to read that. Go to 30. Oh, stop. Let's take it from verse 1. The Lord, you've been examining my heart and you know everything about me. Verse 2. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. You know what I'm going to do, to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hands of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go up to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell by the Father's oceans, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could have the darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts. This is what I'm going to get. So, you made all the delicate inner parts. Of my body. And you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Go back to verse 14. Everybody, let's read together. I want to go. Thank you for making me what? Your workmanship is what? How will I
know?
Say, you are in what? Workmanship. Your workmanship is what? It's marvelous. So the psalmist was exclaiming, you know what? God made me so wonderfully complex. There was some thought put into me when I was eight. There's a uniqueness about me. There's just something special about me. And he began to praise God for that. We need to praise God for the way we are made. Amen. We need to thank God because we are masterpieces. And I want us to take a few minutes right now to just lift your hands and just thank God for the masterpiece that you have. Just praise Him for that. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for how you have made us. Thank you for how you fearfully and wonderfully created us. Thank you so much, Lord. For the beautiful thing that you package inside of us. Thank you, precious Lord. Because we're created to show forth your glory. We're created with love. We are love babies. We're made with the love. We're packaged with the love. We're packaged to express the love. We're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the piece of the psalmist is, I looked at myself and I was just excited. There's a uniqueness about my life. It's just a way that God made me that just makes me want to praise God. And listen, I don't know if you are at that point, but I believe that we need to rise up to that point when you begin to appreciate your uniqueness. Many times when you hear about your uniqueness, some people, you feel like, oh, I wish I was like somebody else. Or you see those uniqueness as weaknesses. Because other people see it as weaknesses, or they call it weaknesses because you are not exactly like them. But when you get to a point where we begin to understand that God is not a duplicator. God is a creator. God wants so much diversity. He wants so much beauty on the face of the earth. So what did he do? He distributed his beauty, his glory, his excellence, his attributes, his characteristics, It is rooted in all of us. Amen. So each and every one of us, we're created in His image, but we're expressing that image in unique ways. Hallelujah. So there's a way that I express the image of God, and there's a way that you express the image of God that is totally different. Amen. And that was intention. Hallelujah. So now, coming to the church, because I want to really round up what we talked about in February. Coming to the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, of course, which includes the local church. But when it comes, to the entire body of Christ, the Bible tells us that God positioned each member of the body in a place, a unique place, and with unique abilities to be able to do different things or to perform different functions. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, Paul talks about the fact that we are the body of Christ, and each of the members of the body are there. They are uniquely positioned. They are uniquely positioned. So there are some people in the body of Christ who are supposed to be eyes. Amen. What do eyes do? They see. They see. Amen. Some people are supposed to be ears. What do ears do? They hear. The ear cannot see. And the eye cannot hear. Some people are heads. Some are legs. Some are feet. Some are fingers. Some are the heart. Some are the kidneys, the livers, and all that. These are the same illustrations that Paul used. So each and every one of us, we are members of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are members of the body, and each of us is given something that is unique to contribute to the overall health of the body and to the accomplishment of God's mission for the body on the earth. So there's something that you have been uniquely given. Now, when you look at your physical body, you will discover that, you know that there's no insignificant part of your body. Is there any significant part? In fact, some members that we don't even see a lot or think or even know that we have never seen. Many of us have never seen our kidneys before. Amen. They tell me, show me how much, how does the kidney look? I don't know how it looks. Amen. I have to go, check a book or whatever to see, okay, this is how a kidney looks. You've never seen it before. It has never talked to you before. It has never allowed to say, I am, and I'm working. Or your liver, I'm here, and I'm working. Everybody see me. I've never done that before. But if something happens to that kidney, what happens to the entire body? The entire body shuts down. If something happens to the liver, the entire body shuts down. If something happens to the heart, I think the heart still tells you I'm there, you can feel it, right? Because it's pumping blood. But there are so many parts of our body that we don't see. But if they shut down, what happens? The entire body shuts down. So the same way, all the members of the body of Christ are placed there by God to fulfill certain functions based on their uniqueness. That masterpiece of God that that God put inside of them, God places us there to fulfill unique functions. And all those functions are essential. All those functions are necessary. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I need you. And you need me. We are all out of God's great family. When you do your thing, I'm healthier. And when I do my thing, you are healthier. When every one of us do our thing, then the entire body is healthy. So I am going to do my thing. How about you? Will you do yours? Come on, ask everybody, will you do yours? Hallelujah. So each and every one of us, we have our thing. It's different. It's different. Many of you will never have the opportunity to come into church, take on the microphone, and preach here. Of course, we preach in different places, but you probably never have the opportunity to come and preach a message and say, today I'm preaching the message. Amen. But that doesn't mean that you are not important. Amen. Hallelujah. You are very important. Every part is important for the health of the body and for the accomplishment of God's mission on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't want to say I am important. What is it that you can do? What is it that God has given you? It is needed for the body to be healthy. And it is needed for the accomplishment of God's vision. There is no insignificant ministry in the church. There are some invisible, there are some that are visible, there are some that are behind the scenes, and there are some that are very vocal about that. But every one of them are important. And listen, it's not even the size of what we do. You hear that? Some of you don't size. It's not the size of what we do that matters. Significance is not equal to size.
Rich pastor.
Of activity. Do you hear that? For example, if you look at your body right now, your hand probably does more than which part of the body is very small? Please, your head, right? Your hand is more active doing stuff, right? But if you cut off your ears, you know what I'm saying? Do you know that your body is going to suffer a great loss? Amen. Because the hear has its own significance, not based on the size. Your eyeball is not big, it's small, but it is significant. Right? So it is not the size of what we do that determines the significance of what we do. It is the fact that we're doing what we are created to do.
Hallelujah.
That's what significance is about.
Thank you,
not size. Amen. So don't confuse significance and size. Whatever you are doing, as long as it's what you are positioned for and created for, then you are fulfilling your role. And that's what makes you significant. It is not how big, what you do is. Amen. Hallelujah. So the question now is, we are created uniquely. God gave us uniqueness. We are all, masterpieces of God. And then God now put several masterpieces and put it inside a body. So just try and imagine that. Several masterpieces together, in one body. And each one is supposed to be, showing you the beauty, the excellence of God while they are in that body. Amen. Now, that creates a picture. I want to get this very important. That's why I'm going so very slowly. Listen, this creates something. We are totally interconnected. Everybody totally interconnected. So you know what? I cannot be the full masterpiece I'm supposed to be, except you be the full masterpiece I'm supposed to be. Do you know? You cannot be the complete masterpiece, you cannot express the complete masterpiece of God that you are supposed to express. Except what? Hiding my path. You know, each and every one of us, we're so interconnected and interrelated that we need one another to be able to fulfill our purpose. You hear that? We need, for my own prayer, of your God's prayer that is put inside of me, to be fully realized in the world. I need you. And for your fully realized, you know what? You need me. We all need one another. And listen, one of the ways Satan has used, one of the methods, and he has been using it for ages and ages against the church at large, and also against the local church, is to make us think that we are independent. Amen. Somebody say independent. It's to make us think that we are independent. No! There is no independent part of the body. We are interdependent. I need you. You need me. We all need one another. I cannot be all that I ought to be without you. You cannot be all that you ought to be without me. Amen? That's just a fact. That's just a fact. We need one another. I need you, to lift me up. You need me to lift you up. Hallelujah. I need you to look at me and tell me, to hold me accountable. And you need me to hold you accountable. We need one another. Hallelujah. individual. Sometimes you think, oh yeah, my family. No, my family will not be the healthier that it can be if the other families in the body of Christ are not the healthiest that they need to be. Because we're interdependent. We're connected. Hold your hands with your neighbor, everybody. Just hold your hands with your neighbor. Just as a sign. And say, we are interconnected.
We are interconnected.
No, say it. Say your family. That is your biological family. Is my family. Because the priority is our spiritual connection. So whatever you are going through, I am going through it. Whatever victory you win, I want it. Whatever loss you have, I have it. I also lost. When you are honored, I am honored. When you are in pain, I am in pain. When you are weak, I am weak. When you are strong, I am strong. When you are spiritually vibrant, then I am spiritually vibrant. When you are spiritually weak, then I am weak. When you do your part, I am blessed. When I do my part, you are blessed. When we are in our part, then the whole world is blessed. That the whole body grows by that which every child is supplying. So friends, I'm ready to supply what I have. Will you supply what you have? Come on, outside your neighbors. Will you supply what you have? I will. Amen. I'm willing to supply what I have. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, quickly. Romans chapter 12. I'm willing to supply what I have. Are you willing to supply what you have? I know you are willing. Amen. Romans 12, starting from verse 1. Now we're getting deeper into this. Praise God. Romans 12 from verse 1. In Romans 12, Paul took some time to talk about this interconnection, the abilities, the fact that we all need one another for God's mission to be accomplished. We all have to fulfill our individual missions and use our individual gifts. So after Paul took time to talk about righteousness and talk about, all the things that Jesus did for us, we're now the righteousness of God. He now says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Everybody say, all he has done for me. I give my gift, my body to God. So please write it down if you're writing. This is very important. You were saved to serve.
You were saved.
Right now. You were saved to serve. In other words, you were bought so that you can serve. You were saved to serve. The uniqueness that God gave you, it is not for you to merchandise it. Do you get what I'm saying? No, the uniqueness God gave you, you are supposed to use it in a service. You're supposed to use it in a service. So you need to understand that. Now, that same uniqueness that God gave you, God will use it, to bless you. Do you get what I'm saying? Truly, God will bless you. But the beginning is that you are supposed to use that masterpiece that he wrote, not for filthy lucre, not for money, not for all that. You're supposed to use it in the service of what? Of God and his people. That is the beginning. We're supposed to pour everything that he has given us into the service of God and into the service of his people. So that's what he's saying here. He said, give your bodies to God. Because of what he has done, give your bodies to God. Let it be living and holy sacrifices. The kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So maybe that worship is not just, I can say that not going to go with saying, worship is when our whole life becomes a service to God and his cause. Do you get it? So then, and I'm doing what I'm doing right now. What am I doing? I'm worshiping God. That's what, because that is my uniqueness, is to teach people, lead people towards God's purpose and all that. So when I'm doing it, I'm worshiping God. When the people were singing, when they were saying to people, worshiping God. Where at the offering we are putting the everything there. What are you doing? It's worshiping God. And they are running, broadcasting, and you are. What are you doing? You're worshiping God. Where are you hearing from? Where are you doing?
So you're hearing from that. Doing what you're doing construction in those days. What are you doing?
You're going to follow the Lord and
you need to worship God. So, but those times we're doing all this construction and all that, it was about having worship to God.
Do you get it? So everything you do, whether you are praying, whatever you do for the advancement of the purpose of God, whether you are initiating stuff, whether you're singing, whether you're helping people, it is what? It is worshiping God. Amen. It's worshiping God. So Paul, you don't have to read the first part. But let's go to verse 3, because the context, you need to understand the context, so that you can get everything he's saying. So in verse 3, Paul says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. So, what he's saying is this, everybody look at me. You have a limit. You have a limitation. I have what? A limitation. And what the beginning is that I'll be able to use your gifts well is to know that you are limited. There's some things I cannot do. You get that? There's some things I cannot do. There are some things that other people are better than the art. You get it? There are some things that other people are better at than me. So the beginning of being able to be the masterpiece that God created for and put inside of you is for you to talk about understand yourself and what am I good at and what am I not good at. And when you understand what you're good at, stay there. But when you understand what you're not good at, stop it to look at it.
Preach,
Papa. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
That's the way people function. Let them function when they are operating where they are good at. Don't try to have you. You are better than everything. Let me tell you something. I have some news for you today. You are not good at everything. And that's a good thing. Say it. You are not good at everything. And that's a good thing. But you are good at some things. That's a good thing too.
Hallelujah. I'm not good at everything. I'm not good at everything. There are always some few things that I can do. And my responsibility is to do the few things I can do do it well. You know what I'm saying? And then allow other people to do what you can do what? Well. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
So that's why I think that you need to understand that we are limited. You know that we are limited. You know, I was telling I was telling them, you know what, I know my role from time. My role is from every time I've seen myself, from when I was in secondary school, maybe 20 something years ago up until now, I've seen it, I've begun to understand. My role is God will take me somewhere to see something that is not orderly or whatever, or it's not there, establish it, make it orderly, and then He will shift me from it. And I said, as we're approaching this 10 years, I feel I've done the job in this place. Amen? This thing was not in existence. You understand? There was none of this that was in existence. In fact, we were celebrating. This was the only equipment we had. This thing, it was not my. I was very sentimental about the new Jubilee project. It was not going anywhere. This was the only equipment we had when the church started, plus one microphone. You get it? And then we have a bunch of unmarried people. My wife only and I were married. That is what we started with. But there was a vision that He gave, which is still there. But each of us have a role. There are some who are foundation layers. You hear it? And there are those who are supposed to build on the foundation. And I said, you know, God is telling me that my role in this place is getting complete. Amen. There's somebody else that God has in mind who can take you to the next level. Amen. And it can be you. And it can be you. Amen. Somebody say it can be me. He's the one that changes people there. Amen. And then you tell us to go again and establish something or whatever. Do you get what I'm saying? But we all need to know what? Our roles. And stick to it. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. So now what is the faith we're talking about? Because when you look at it, what is the faith? Look at it, it's small. Because you need to understand it in context. What is the faith he has given you? He says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So if this is the faith he's talking about, the left, this is what he was talking about, a context of living a life of sacrifice. Talking about living sacrifice. This is what he was talking about. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to God. So I want you to get it, and you want me. You know, you see, when you get the revelation that we know one another, the next time somebody comes to ask you, there's something you need to eat that is very important, that you really like, and somebody comes and says, I need it. When you understand that the person wants you and you want one another, you will think differently. Do you understand? In other words, the way God designed the body, and you see the hands of the apostle, everything that we own, we jointly own. That's not very American, right? Or no, that's not very capitalist. Yeah. So you need to understand that the Christianity and the kingdom are very different. Do you understand? My house is your house. My car is your car. I'm sorry, yours is mine too.
Preach, preach, pastor.
When I do this, I will make him answer.
Preach, pastor. Preach.
Amen. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I have the key of your car. I need it. This is what I'm going to church. I need it. You're under obligation. Amen. That means I'm also under obligation to do the same to you. That's the same thing. But this thing of, this is my thing, you know, the thing, you know. And then that is your home. No, that's not Christianity. He said none of them thought that anything they had was their home. But they had all this what? Come on. And then they had lands and houses, they thought the ways that the apostles feel like the solution can be made to all the things. You get it? That's how it started from. You understand? That's why I've never, number one, personally, we have lived our life to make sure that everything we have belongs to everyone. In fact, meaning that if somebody needs it, you have a claim to it. So that's why I'm never afraid to make a claim on anybody's stuff. If I need a house to come, I'll tell you, if you have a big house, I'll come to your house for a retreat. If you say no to me, I will fight you. I need a car. I mean, that's the way the philosophy is coming from. Amen? Trust me, we belong to each other. Next, we belong to each other. So, since we belong to each other, what should we do? Since we belong to each other, what should we do? Verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different keys for doing certain things well. You hear that? He has given us keys for doing certain things well, not everything well. I cannot do everything well. But there are some things I do well. You cannot do everything, but there are some things you do well. And listen, this is not originated from you. It's what God has given to you. It's a gift that was bestowed on you. That's why God has given humility. He said, think correctly. God has given us a grace, different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Somebody prophesy. If your gift is serving others, serving others and teaching. For me, that's my gift. I have a gift of ministry to help people fulfill their callings. And sometimes people that don't have a gift of service, they don't understand how this works. They don't understand how it works. Because, see, when you have been given the gift of service, sometimes you are like a what? A footmat. You know, people step on you to fulfill their destiny. They don't understand how it works. But it's part of God's calling and part of God's gift. It's a gift of service. It's a gift of help. It's a gift that you're going to give what you have, even if you don't get anything out of it. Just because that's the way God is walking through you and walking in you. Amen. If you are married to somebody, or some people here, I'm saying, if you are married to somebody who has a gift of help or a gift of service, sometimes you might not even understand the person. Because you think that he's been taken advantage of, or she's been taken advantage of.
Yeah.
She's taken advantage of. How come you always, you know, you always want to see you. Individual, that individual that is a working, a charisma, the word is there, is charismata. It is a charisma, it is a different issue right now, man. That's why you do the person, that just wants to keep lifting people up, that just wants to keep using everything that they have to lift other people up. And if you have that, you don't be discouraged, amen. Don't be discouraged, don't stop from there. This is what that person is not appreciated. Keep up doing it, amen. That's your calling. Come on, tell us my calling. If you are a teacher, teach well. Someone say teach well.
Teach well.
If you teach kids, don't just teach them anyhow. Prepare, yeah. And teach them. Let each kid that come in contact with you know that you get in contact with something, a truth that remains with them. Teach well. If you are teaching other people, teach well. Foundation for what is it? Teach well. Verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, there are some people who are encouraging. When you are around them like this, if you are down, you are up. Because everything, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Be encouraging. Look for who's encouraged everywhere. Put it on Facebook. Do everything. Don't encourage people in their faith. Put encouraging people. If your gift is giving, you need to understand that there are some people that have been given the gift of giving. From the gift of giving. They have been given a structure of the body of Christ to give. But there are some people that they are empowered, and God is still they are wanting to make money so that they can give to increase His kingdom. It's called the gift of charity. To give. The word you give, you give up. Give generously. Don't worry, you don't say, you know, but why come I'm always going to give and give? Maybe I'm not being wise with my finances. No. You know that. You are, that's your calling. That's the divine endowment of God through you. It's a ministry. Not everybody is supposed to lead that way. So that's why people of us that learn financial principles and all that. You need to understand that there are financial principles, but then they are calling. Okay, they are calling. Yes, and when you're operating under your calling, sometimes you will look at you are breaking some principles. Because that's leading you to a point in a particular path. But everything balances out. But you must know where you are. Not just nowhere. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Everyone is wrong, and all tightly to what is good. Don't just pretend to love. Really, really love them. So listen, what he says is that the context of our gifts and abilities is this. It was given to us by God as a result of His love for us. And the purpose of it is to use those gifts to love other people. To love other people. Somebody to love us. Say the gift of love. Say the masterpiece that I have is not to show off. The masterpiece that I have is to love. It's a love. It's a love. I don't try to put the point in you. I don't love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul says, love each other with genuine affection. Look at fake love. You know what I'm talking about? When I love you, but I'm talking about you. I love you, but I'm second guessing you, I'm judging you, and all that. No, let's genuine love, don't be genuine love. Let love be your highest goal. But you also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Let love be what? Your highest goal. Something the highest goal. So the highest goal for even the abilities, the special abilities, is what? It's for love. Let me know what he said. Quickly, he said, for your ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God. Since you won't be able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all the mysterious. But those who prophesy strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them.
A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. So sometimes speaking in tongues is a selfish thing.
So that you see the beginning. This is Jesus Christ speaking
So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the ruler of this world lords it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. You see it all around, right? You know, one of the problems of talking leadership, all the leadership books I'm reading, and I read them a lot, read it outside the church, is that there are some leadership principles that apply universally, but when you come into the kingdom of God, we're operating with a different paradigm. So some of the things that you read about all these leadership things around that they don't work in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, leaders lead. People don't become leaders, and they don't lead by ruling over everybody and telling them what to do. No, leaders lead by leading in service. An example. Do you get it? That's what he leads in the kingdom of God. So if you see anything that is not like that, that's not the leadership Jesus is talking about. You don't see that authority, there's authority. Don't throw that. There's authority. There's a spiritual authority. There's all that. But even spiritual authority is expressed with a servant heart. The goal is to lift the people up, right? You know that the people of this world are over people, and officials come their authority over those under them. Verse 43. But among you, it will be different. Somebody shout out like that, it's different than people, right? Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be what? Everyone say, silent. Say, you must be a servant. If you want to be great, you must become a servant. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. Your gift, your uniqueness, it reveals, pay everybody pay attention, reveals your ministry. You know what? This gift we're talking about, personally, this is my calling, this is my ministry. But your servant heart reflects your character. I say that because I know people are beginning to discover their calling and their gifts and all that. That was given to you by God. Yes. You are not responsible for your gift. You are not responsible for that. That was given to you by God. But what is truly going to show who you are is your servant heart, not your gift. Important. When God begins to show you your gift, before you release it to the next level of fulfillment or expression in that gift, it will test your servant heart. Test it. So there are some people that have come to me before, say, Pastor Lan, my gift is to do this big thing. And you know how excited I am when people share their gifts with me. You all know that, amen. I mean, you had a joke of that, you know, my birthday. You know, laugh at me. I enjoy it. Amen. But when people share their gift or their calling, yeah! But you know what I always know? This person is going to be tested in gift. The next thing, this person is going to be tested. And you are going to be tested not necessarily in the area of your gift, in the area of service. That's the next step that you're going to follow. Yeah, my gift is to speak to multitudes. Or my gift is to experiment. My gift is that. And the next thing, God will say, clear wisdom. Or what speaker? Or can't you? Or carry this thing like this guy is trying to do that. Something, my gift, says my gift, shows my ministry. But my servant heart shows my character and my maturity. When you are mature, when you are a mature person, you know that you are a servant. And so there is no task that is too small. Even when it's not related to your gift.
Yes.
I read something from Rick Warren. He said, while knowing your shape is important for serving God, having the heart of a servant is even more important. Remember, God shaped you for service, not for self-centeredness. Without a servant's heart, you'll be tempted to reduce your shape for personal gain. You'll also be tempted to use as an excuse to exempt yourself from meeting some needs. God doesn't test our hearts by asking us to serve in ways that we're not shaped. If you see a man fall into a ditch, God expects you to help him out and not say, I don't have the gift of mercy or service. While you may not be gifted for a particular task, you may be called to do it if no one gifted of it is around. Your primary ministry should be in the area of your shape. But your secondary service is wherever you are needed at the moment. Your shame reveals your ministry, but your servant heart reveals your maturity. Your special talent or gift is required to stay after your meeting to pick up trash or to act shit. Anyone can be a servant. All it requires is character. It is possible to serve in the church for a lifetime without ever being a servant. You must have a servant heart. How do you know you have a servant heart of Jesus? You can tell what they have by what they do. So we need to know what, you know, what it means to be a servant. Let me quickly say that. Let me quickly say, everybody, number one, I'm going to rush to number one. Pay attention, right? Number one, they make themselves available. The servant heart. Servant people make themselves available by prioritizing their schedules. They make themselves available by prioritizing their schedules. Real servants do what is needed, not what is convenient. You know, someone comes to meet me and they say, Pastor, this is what I would like to do. And I say, no, we don't need anybody to do that. This is what we need to do. Yes. It's not what you want to do. It's not really what you are talking about or doing. You know, that's not the thing. You get into that. It is what is needed at the moment. That's what servants are. That's what the servant has. And listen, you won't know me for 10 years or whatever. I make myself available for what is needed. Not what I'm gifted to. I was not gifted to construct. Either was I gifted to carry trash in my bags, or even things that I do. Like every day I come to church, I pick trash all around. I arrange the church. I do all that. Mommy that comes to clean the church and does that for years now, she's been cleaning the church, sometimes alone. Everywhere. She comes every Saturday, cleans it. It's not because that's, you know, the glamorous, the convenient one. No, it is what is needed. It is what is needed. What are you needed to do? That is it. That's what the servant has. You have, wait, what can I do? How can I help? Do you get it? How can I help? No. So you start with that. And then as you are helping in the way you can help, then you start to discover that your uniqueness and your gift begins to be more and more expressed because you are passing the test. Some of you are passing the test. So you got to, your schedule is not an excuse for all time. The body. It's not an excuse because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, the Bible says that any soldier that is at war does not entangle himself with the affairs of his life. So that he can be able to serve the person who has called him, who has enlisted him. You don't get tired of his civilian affairs. You have to pick up everything out there that you're going to do. Let me also tell you something. The second thing, even about verbatim, number two, about servant is that you pay attention to needs. Everybody pay attention to needs. Many people make the mistake, pay attention, they make the mistake of being very useful out there. In the world, they are in this charity, in that charity that is taking place in Mongolia. They are in the one that is taking place in Jamaica. And the one that is taking place in there. But no, that's not. We need to prioritize. We need to understand. Galatians chapter, I think Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. That was the priority. He said, as long as you have opportunity, Galatians 6, verse 10. It tells us the priority. 6, verse 10. 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Quickly. He said, as much as you have opportunity, do good to all men. I want you to do that. Whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone. But especially, everything especially. So don't be the family of faith. Be household. You know, the family of charity begins where? Not to start from your house. I want to express that you are helping kids in Jamaica. If you are not helping the kids, then we are helping the church. That's just the fact. And God is not impressed. Because you are breaking the priority. You start first of all. First of all, the family. If I have the need of the world and I don't get the need of my family, then I'm wrong. Then it doesn't count. If any man does not provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. The same thing with the church. If your household that you are part of, you are part of the household, you do not pay there. You do not give there. You give church. Whatever you feel like, you do not show yourself up in meetings. You do not become available. You say, I'm doing this. You know, when you now come and say,
you know, there's somebody who is doing one charity somewhere or whatever. It is null and void. Why? Because you're not giving your body first. Because if that body dies, you cannot do any other thing. There's a priority, there's an order in the kingdom of God. And the order in the kingdom of God is starts with the people of the household of faith. What good will it be for us to help all the poor in this world when people are in the church are suffering?
Preach, preach, Pastor, preach.
What would be the good of it? That's why I said in Associate, I said, you know what? The first thing, I'm going to call that right. I said, the first thing we're going to do, after we finish the building project, the first thing, we're going to separate our 5% from our guys. The second 5% to be held this week for helping the community. And the top 5% as a welfare offering to help the people within the church. For that purpose, they are reaching out and all that. They are priorities. Don't say they are priorities. So the same thing in your own finances. In your finances, you cannot be taking your time, and you take it and you give it to one ministry somewhere. It is against the law of God. You give your time away to my getting blessed and contribute to the life of that you. Really, you can be rich. Sometimes when people are suffering financially right now, and that is the only thing they need to adjust. Because they are not feeling the source that God planted them. If you understand that you are not in churches by accident, and God places you in churches, then you should know that you have a responsibility in that church.
Great.
You are needed. If you don't do what you are supposed to do, somebody is going to suffer. So that's why we tithe. Everyone has to say, we tithe in that church. Not half of our time, I'm going to say, we tithe in that church. But the full tithe. The full tithe will bring it far to the church. So then we keep our energy and start our skill. God, why do you need this church? You don't have this church. It's the way you pay me. No. You see what we use news. Then we all do that. Then, in the past, there are employment arrangements and all that. We're making some of that. There are people that, okay, they need to invest more time in things and then you make employment. But the first thing is what you have to offer. You don't ask for money. You don't know that you offer your gift. You want service. Yes! Seven people. So you pay attention to needs. The needs of your church family are to be given preference, not at the bottom of your finger of your things to do list. Then the last one, people who have a servant heart. They do the best they can do with equal dedication, no matter the size or the visibility of the task. And they don't look for human appreciation. You just do your best. But people will look for human appreciation. They call it idol. Some of the idols. So they put things so that God can see them. And then there's some. Well, Jesus said, if you do your part, don't make a trumpet. Don't blow it up. He said, your Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. So, in other words, in conclusion, how are we supposed to use this masterpiece? How are we supposed to serve one another? But who will serve one another first of all by discovering who we are, knowing what we can do? Number two, we're supposed to serve ourselves by making ourselves available to whatever thing that is necessary to be done, no matter the time or the disability. And number three, we're supposed to constantly look for opportunities to serve others out from the household of faith. Amen. And then trust God for our rewards. Trust God to show the appreciation. I don't need anybody to say thank you to me. Amen. Jesus Christ, I pray for you. I pray to come from God. It's not people's appreciation. When you start getting it by people's appreciation, when they don't appreciate you any longer, then what happens? You have the same problem. That's why you don't operate by people. You don't operate like you say, I don't operate by this. I don't care about the censor of people or the praise of people. Because when you start being for praise, then when they don't appreciate you any longer, they don't appreciate you, you stop doing what you're doing. We do what we're doing because we love God and we are called according to His purpose.
Hallelujah. It's a specific place for me to do what I do, like Paul said. Whether I be willing or not willing, it's a necessary place because God loves a cheerful giver. Tell us a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Some leaders do things sacrificially. Amen. Sacrificially. We know that a big sacrifice to fulfill the purpose of God. Big sacrifice. People die to get the gospel to us. We're not called to die, but it takes sacrifice to do it. We don't watch, we don't look for, whatever, we don't wait until, it's convenient. No, people with servant hearts don't do things just because it is convenient. They do things just because it is necessary and because they have been placed there to do it. They know they have the ability to do it. Last scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, verse 27. This is a very good scripture for ourselves. How are we supposed to do it? It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I will help you. Don't fall back against your neighbor for those who live nearby. Trust you. That's fine. Now that scripture should be the motto. Tell your neighbor and say, if I can do it. Say, if I can do it. And if you need it to be done, I will do it. Say that I can do it, and it needs to be done, I will do it. Especially when it comes to the household of faith. That's my priority. People call me. People send me, I need to come to this country. I need this, I need that. If I can do it, I pray. You know everything I can, if I can do it, if it is, then I will contribute something to it. You don't turn people wrong. You don't turn people back. You don't turn them. You don't say, no, that's not my concern. No, when it comes to the household of faith, we prioritize. Sometimes doing it does not mean that I am the one that will do it. It means that I can arrange through my network or whatever, or I can do something to contribute to that. That's it. We need to use our gifts to serve one another, to love one another.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.